Christians, of course, see the birth of Jesus Christ as constituting a turning point in history. And we all know, if we read our standard textbooks, at least old ones, history is divided into what happened BC and what happened AD. So non-Christian historians nowadays don't always follow that particular usage. They've suggested that if there is to be any such distinction, then it should be thought of in terms of the Common Era and before the Common Era. Scholars, moreover, have suggested that if there is to be a turning point in history, it's to be found not in one particular year, but in a whole period. It's to be found in the years centering around 500 BC. In other words, the period from about 200 to 800 BCE, before the Common Era. And this period has been termed, as I think most of you know, the Axial Age. And according to Karl Jaspers, the German philosopher, in those years, the spiritual foundations of humanity were laid simultaneously and independently in China, in India, in Persia, in Palestine, and in Greece. It was the age of the great individuals, individuals with a capital I. It was the age of Confucius and Isaiah, of Socrates and Plato, of the Upanishadic sages, and of the Greek tragic poets. And of course, most importantly for Buddhists, it was the age of the Buddha. Buddhists certainly see the appearance of the Buddha on the stage of history as constituting a turning point. But they don't see the appearance, the life of the Buddha, as a turning point in quite the same way as Christians see the appearance of Christ as constituting a turning point. For Christians, Christ is absolutely unique. He is the incarnate Logos, the incarnate Son of God, and his sacrificial death on the cross is the central event in the history of the whole world, of all human beings. That history, according to Christian tradition, begins with the creation and it ends with the last judgment. When the trumpet sounds in the heavens and the entire human race is summoned before the throne of God to be judged by Christ. For Buddhists, however, the Buddha is not absolutely unique. Shakyamuni, Gautama, is not absolutely unique. He is, we may say, relatively unique, if one can in fact use such an expression. He is relatively unique in the sense that he is unique within a certain world period, a certain kalpa. According to Buddhist tradition, there have been Buddhas before him in other world periods, and there will be other Buddhas after him again in future world periods. A Buddha as such, a Samyaksambuddha as such, is one who rediscovers the path of enlightenment after it has been lost to humanity. Christians and Buddhists thus have two different versions, two different visions of history, of the historical process. The Christian vision, we may say, is a linear vision. It begins with creation and the fall of man, and it reaches its climax in the life and death of Christ and ends with the last judgment. Before the creation and after the last judgment, there is, so to speak, only eternity. This linear vision of history has dominated Western thought, at least since the time of the rise of Christianity. And in modern times, that same linear vision finds expression in Marxism. Marxism can be described, in fact has been described, from a certain point of view, as a secularized version of Christianity's linear vision of history. And this linear vision of history, underlies modern notions of indefinite progress. Certain happenings in the present century, however, have rather tended to undermine those notions of the indefinite progress of the human race, the indefinite progress of civilization. We are less confident now than we used to be, say 100 years ago, that the history of mankind is the history of uninterrupted progress on all fronts. We realize now that there can be regression. There can be a falling back to an earlier, primitive, even less civilized stage of development. So this linear vision of history is also shared by Islam. For Islam too, history is a single story, so to speak, with a definite beginning and a definite end. Its climax is not, of course, the life of Jesus Christ, even though Muslims do have the greatest respect for Jesus Christ, short of recognizing him as the incarnate Son of God. For Muslims, the climax of the historical process is the life of Muhammad and the revelation of the Quran 600 years after the appearance of Christ. For Muslims, the turning point in history is the Hijrah, Muhammad's departure from Mecca to Medina in 622 of the Common Era. Of course, both the Christian and the Muslim visions of history have roots in Judaism. One may therefore speak of the linear vision of history as the Semitic vision. It is the vision common to all three Abrahamic religions, or Abrahamic faiths, that is to say, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, as well as to Marxism and much of modern thought. The Buddhist vision of history, on the contrary, is a cyclical vision. Buddhism sees history as proceeding not in a straight or relatively straight line, certainly not in a single line. It sees it as proceeding in a succession, a series of cycles. Within each of these cycles, there is a process of growth, maturity, and decay. And this cyclical process Buddhism sees as applying not only to human history. Buddhism sees this process as applying to the whole world. It sees it as applying, in fact, to the entire universe. It sees it, indeed, as applying to the whole of phenomenal existence, or to what Buddhists traditionally call samsara. It sees phenomenal existence. It has, so to speak, a vision of phenomenal existence as being like a great ocean, an ocean without beginning and without end, an ocean without limit, without boundaries. And upon this great ocean, this infinite ocean, millions upon millions of waves are constantly rising and constantly falling. And these waves are universes, are worlds, and upon these waves that are universes, that are worlds. There are millions upon millions of smaller waves rising and falling. And these waves are civilizations, are empires, are religions, are nations, are individuals. These too are constantly rising and falling. These two are undergoing the process of growth, maturity, and decay.